Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog who lives in a pond and loves to tell stories. I'm not in my pond right now, though. I'll tell you why. I'm camping. I am camping near my favorite bog, which is, this time of year, full of the most delicious aquatic larvae called wrigglers. So it's more like I'm glamping because I'm dining all day, then I take a break to watch the marsh marigolds bloom, which usually turns into a good long nap, and then more dining on wrigglers. Yum. And then it's time to watch the sun set and the stars come out in the sky and to relax in my tent. My tent is made out of a nice green leaf, and my sleeping bag is made out of a bulrush. I also have a basin and soap for hand washing, a flashlight, because before I go to sleep, I like to relax with some reading. And I've brought snacks, of course, some crispy bugs and popping pupae, and something else really, really special to read right now. A big backpack full of letters that arrived via the Storyland mail system. Yes! I've been saving them up to read on my camping trip, and I just can't wait. Okay, I'm gonna get out my flashlight. All right, okay, here's one. This one is in a purple envelope, and it has a stamp on it with a turtle eating broccoli. And it's addressed to me, Lily, a frog, but the return address says it's from a turtle named Katrina, who is 6 years old. Dear Lily, my favorite healthy food is broccoli. How do you wash your hands when you live in the water? For fun, I like flying kites. Do you fly kites? My favorite story is the Clock Tower Mouse. Thank you for all the stories. Warmly, Katrina. Oh, what a lovely letter to get. I'm going to write her back. Dear Katrina, I had never flown a kite before, but when your letter arrived in my bright green mailbox, I realized that I should. So I searched my personal library for a cherished book of mine called Outdoor Fun for Frogs, Salamanders, and Other Amphibians, and I turned to the chapter called Kites and Other Delights, and there were instructions with illustrations on how to make a kite from a poplar leaf and some small branches and lots of tape and some string. So I made a kite, and I went to a big wide open field on a windy day, and Katrina, it was so much fun. As to your other question, well, that's a smart question. In a pond, on a pond, under a pond, it depends on the time of year. In the winter, my pond is all frozen and I live under the pond, in a frozen bubble in the frozen mud. And in that bubble, I have everything I need. I have my personal library of books. I have a wood-burning stove and firewood and matches. I have honey-dipped larvae, peppermint tea, and my pet dragonfly, Puff, resting by the warm fire. And I wash my hands, just like you, in a sink with soap and water for at least as long as it takes to sing this song. Went the little green frog one day. Went the little green frog. Went the little green frog one day. And the frogs went a. But we all know frogs go la-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-da. Well, we all know frogs go La di da di da, they don't go a. Then I dry my hands off on a towel. I like fluffy ones. In the summer, though, I spend most of my time on the pond, on my lily pad, eating flies or singing in my frog choir. And then I don't use a sink. I just wash my hands in the pond, or I go for a good long swim. Isn't that the best? But, I mean, it's complicated, right? Because I'm amphibious. Thank you for your letter, Katrina. It's so nice to have turtle friends like you. Enjoy your broccoli, Lily. Okay, I will mail that to her when I get back to my pond home. Now, what else is in my bag of letters? Oh, here's one. It says, from Maggie on the envelope. And it was dropped off on my windowsill by a magpie. And when I open it up, it's full of the sound of geese. Maggie must be writing to tell me that she sees the same geese where she lives that me and my otter friend saw. Amazing, right? Small world. Thanks for telling me, Maggie. Oh, and here is a large brown paper envelope. And when I open it up, I see, oh, there are two letters in it. And, oh, this is special. These are the talking kind of letter. This letter is a little letter. Let's see. Dear Lily.
My name is Ari. I live in Belmont and I like your horse.
My name is Ari. I live in Belmont and I love your stories. Oh, I know from my atlas, my book of maps, that Belmont is in the United States of America. So I know this letter must have been carried here by the Storyland mail system, by the dog who rides on the back of the horse. And this other letter is a bit bigger. It looks big sister size. And the letter says,
my name is Maya, and I am a 7-year-old girl, and I live in Belmont, Massachusetts, and I love to go swimming. When I get scared, I go to a make-believe country called Kidalania, and it has its own language, and it is only for kids. And my brother loves it.
Kidalania? What a great idea, Maya. You use your imagination to help you feel good and calm, and it helps your little brother too. I wonder if some other kids would like to imagine Kidalania and go there too in their imaginations. I know that when I'm not camping, when I'm home, in, or on, or under my pond, I like to remember camping sometimes, but it's great to imagine new places too. It's funny how when you imagine a place, you can go back there again and again, just like a memory, like a place you remember being there. We can build some calm places that are inside us, and we can return there when we want to or need to. I know just what you mean. Here's another letter. This one is in a rainbow-colored envelope with, oh boy, sparkles.
Dear Lily, I'm Summer, and I'm a unicorn from Fairy Tale Magical Land. I love your stories, Lily. Bye.
Wow, it's nice to hear from a unicorn, isn't it? I wonder if the magical storyland that Summer the Unicorn lives in is near Kidalania, or maybe it's in Kidalania. Now here's another big envelope, a yellow envelope with a stamp on it, with a picture of an animal on the stamp that I don't recognize. It's like, I don't know, a squirrel bear? Oh, okay. It says on the stamp that the animal is a wombat, and this letter comes from Australia. Wow. Oh, there are three letters in this envelope from Australia. Let me open up the first one.
Dear Lily, my name is Clementine, and I'm a fluffy bunny. I live in Queensland, Australia, and I love bright orange carrots. I love listening to your podcast at night in my burrow.
Wow, a burrow sounds like such a nice place to be right now. It makes me happy, Clementine, to think of you all cozy and safe in your bunny burrow. Thank you for your letter. And here's another letter in the same big envelope.
Hi, Lily. My name is Freya, and I'm a child who wishes to be a hippopotamus. I live in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia, but I dream to live in Africa. If I was a hippo, I would love to wallow in the cool mud with my hippo buddies while munching on juicy green lettuce leaves.
Oh, it's a girl who wishes she was a hippo and lived in Africa. I wonder if there's anywhere a girl can go to get turned into a hippo that lives in Africa. Oh, wait. I know. Kidalania. And you can go there anytime you want. I know you know how. And there's another letter in this big envelope from Australia. And this one has a paw print on it. But I don't recognize the type of paw print. Let's open it up.
Dear Lily, my name's Tello and I'm a koala. I live in Tui Forest, which is a nice bushland reserve in the middle of Brisbane in Australia. It's a lovely day today. It's overcast and it's a nice cool breeze, which is just great for us koalas who love to sleep all day. The only thing is, I'm not so great at sleeping. I get all excited about the pretty birds and the colourful beetles, and even the spiders are really beautiful around here. And sometimes there's even kids that come through the forest with their parents, and their parents sometimes spot us and point us out to the kids, and they yell and try to get our attention for a photo, and we just pretend we're not even there. It's so funny. Anyway, the thing is, I get so excited about all these things going on around me that I find it hard to sleep. And my mum says it's very important for a koala to have about 20 hours sleep a day at least. So my mum started playing me your stories, and it really helps me feel relaxed. I just get a nice cozy branch, which is, you know, can be a bit tricky finding a cozy branch, but some koalas, they can just sleep anywhere. You should see them. It's amazing they don't fall out. Anyway, your podcast, it just is magic, and I'd like to thank you for that. All the best, Lily. Love from Tello.
What another nice letter. I wonder where my little koala bear friend who lives in a tree gets a smartphone to listen to podcasts. Well, he probably uses his mom's phone. Do you think he wears headphones? I'll have to write a letter and ask. Here's another letter in my backpack. It's in a white envelope with a purple love heart drawn on it, and the return address shows me that it comes from Berlin. Ooh. It says, "Hi, Lily. You tell the best stories, and I love them. I am Samantha. I listen every night." Oh, gosh. Thanks, Samantha. A purple love heart to you, too. I am so lucky to have this big backpack full of lovely letters that come to my bright green mailbox. This next one is in an envelope that is purple and green and turquoise, and it's kind of shiny and a bit damp. Okay, I'll open it up. Oh, it's full of water and some sparkly sand swirling inside. Okay, but this won't be hard for me to read because it's a talking letter.
Dear Lily, it's Ricky the Mermaid. I live in the moon pool on Mako Island. I wondered, what do you do when your pond freezes over? I love also swimming with my friend the dolphin. Love, Ricky the Mermaid.
Dear Ricky, I mostly read books and think up stories. And did I mention sleep? I love to sleep. When I hibernate, it's just like being asleep. A very velvety, black, deep, beautiful sleep. I don't notice that it's been a long time at all, except that it takes some time to wake up again in the spring. Thanks for writing.
Dear Lily, it's me, your friend, Blackberry the Black Bear. How was your hibernation this year? Mine was great. I thought up a way to describe it for people who don't hibernate. If normal sleep is like drinking milk, hibernation is like chocolate ice cream with whipped cream on top. I can't wait to hear your frog choir singing in the forest. Yours, Blackberry.
What a great way to describe it. Thanks, Blackberry. You know, Blackberry is one of my dearest, loveliest, best friends, and I know she has a birthday coming up. I think I'm going to make her a cake, probably chocolate with whipped cream. I think she likes that. Thanks for writing. Now here's a big yellow envelope, and I can tell there's a couple of talking letters in here.
Dear Lily, my name is Mateo, and I am a forest bat. I live in the watermelon rainforest, which is warm, humid, and rainy all year long. I choose to be a bat because I was born in Akbal Day, according to my Mayan culture. And I love to fly by with the moonlight over the ancient Mayan temples and to eat fruit from all variety of trees in the area. I really like your stories and thank you for them.
Mateo the Bat. Wow, I'd love to be able to see the fruit-filled forests of Guatemala and the moonlit Mayan temples through Mateo the Bat's eye view. Well, I guess in some ways I can. I mean, that's the magic of writing and reading, isn't it? And looking at pictures and learning. What a beautiful letter. Thank you. And the second letter in this envelope.
Dear Lily, my name is Marcus and I am a Guatemalan quetzal. I am the national bird of Guatemala and I am also called the serpent bird because of my long and beautiful tail. I live in the cloudy forests of Coban, and I love to play hide and seek in the trees. And such is why few people see me every year. I choose to be this animal because of my Mayan Nahual, which is Tikin. And I am also the little brother of Mateo the Bat. Thank you, Lily. Please write me back. Bye.
Oh, I will. I will get out my pen and paper and... Dear Marcos the Quetzal, otherwise known as the Serpent Bird, I love to play hide and seek too. My favorite places to hide are under leaves, under rocks, under water, and in cool, mossy, rotten logs. Where do you like to hide? Do you hide in the clouds, in the cloud forest canopy? What does it feel like to fly? Is it like swimming? I would love to know what it looks like inside a cloud. One thing I really respect about Quetzal birds like you is that you eat fruit instead of frogs, and I think that's a very good and healthy and ethical choice. Thank you for your letter, Marcos. I hope you find lots of delicious fruit in the forest today and every day. Now here's another one in a little green envelope, and when I unfold it, I see, oh wow, another handwritten letter. Dear Lily, I really love your stories. Love, Roz. Thank you for the letter, Roz. And here's one in a blue envelope with a return envelope that says Northbrook, Illinois, and there is a stamp on it with a shark. Dear Lily, the frog, who lives in a pond and likes to tell stories. Will you post some new stories, please? I listen to them every night. My favorite is The Changeling. Shark fact. Did you know someone got bitten by a shark but did not die? Joke. A typewriter that won't write is a typer-wronger. From Brooke, age 6. Brooke, that joke is so funny. Thank you for making me laugh. Here's something else in my backpack. It's a letter with a picture, and the picture is of a frog on a lily pad floating on a pond and basking in the bright summer sunshine. Oh, I'm looking forward to some summer sunshine and some basking. It says, "Dear Lily, what is your favorite color?" "My favorite food is spaghetti." From Edison. "Dear Edison, my favorite color is green. Thank you for the picture." Here's another talking letter in a red envelope with a stamp from the United States of America.
"Dear Lily, my name is Lila Sawyer, and I am 7 years old, and I live in Colchester, Connecticut. I love to hang out with my pets and do arts and crafts."
Dear Lila, we have so much in common. I love arts and crafts and hanging out with my pet, too. I'm all cuddled up with my pet dragonfly, Puff, right now. Right, Puff? He said, "Hi, Lila. Thank you for the letter." Also in my backpack, oh, here's a card. And it says Lily Pad Stories on it. And it's shaped like a green leaf. Just like the green leaf my tent is made out of. And there's a picture of a little girl on it. A super cute little girl with intelligent, kind eyes. And a picture of a book. And a picture of me. And it says, "I love stories to Lily from Tegan, or you can call me TJ." Thank you for the card, TJ. I just love it. And here's one in an envelope that says airmail. "Dear Lily, thank you so much for being so nice and telling stories. Jack from Scotland." Oh, wow. Thank you for being so nice, Jack. These letters make me feel so good. Should I read another one? Well, it's really getting near my bedtime here in my campsite under the stars, but I can't help reading just one more. Okay, this one is in a blue envelope with gold stars all over it. "Dear Lily, are you making more episodes? If so, can you make an episode on how to bake a story cake, like a recipe with fun little details like a pinch of creativity, a dash of the blue sky?" Thank you, Lily. From Amy, a puppy who lives in a perfectly normal house in the galaxy where usually a rainbow flying goldfish flies past your window and screams, "Good morning, custard. Bye. I love your show." Okay. Well, Amy, I'm all cozy and warm in my sleeping bag. I'm all zipped in and snug, but I think I have just enough time to write down my recipe on how to bake a story cake so that I can share it with you, especially since you know the main ingredients already. Dear Amy, here is my story cake recipe. First, you need a pinch of creativity and a dash of the blue sky. The blue sky can be any hue or shade of blue. It can be cerulean blue, which is a dark sky blue. Artists use cerulean blue to paint cathedral ceilings to look like the heavens because it's a heavenly blue. Or it could be a cornflower blue, like pretty little flowers waving hello on a summer's day to the sunshine and the singing birds in a rolling green field while lazy fat clouds float by. That kind of sky blue. It could be a navy blue, like the sky just after the sun falls, like a big gold coin into a coin slot, and the stars begin to blaze in the sky blue. Or it could be a baby blue, like the eyes of a Siberian husky puppy wrapped up in a fluffy warm blanket blue. But you do need a pinch of the blue sky. Stories make us see things, so colors and places are absolutely necessary. Stories also make us feel things, too. So, you need a golden brick of butter. And this butter must come from a cow with a bright copper bell that lives in Kitalania. No substitutions. I mean, if you're vegan or lactose intolerant, coconut oil will absolutely work as a substitution instead of butter, but the coconut oil must come from coconut trees growing off the beaches of Kitalania. Butter holds emotions or feelings, so it's important that you use the real deal in your story cake. A good story cake needs real feelings. Vanilla is optional but recommended. I learned in a book that vanilla comes from a bean that comes from a flower, and the flower is a dreamy greenish white colored orchid that grows on vines and trees in Mexico and Guatemala, where our quetzal and forest bat friends live. When people say something is vanilla, it means ordinary or expected or plain, but isn't vanilla extraordinary and surprising and amazing when you think about it really at all? I think so. Vanilla is recommended. And you need 3 cups of fairy dust or cake flour, whichever you have in your pantry. Also, to make a story cake, you need a bowl and a spoon and a pan. And the mixing up is a really important part. A story is not interesting unless there's dramatic tension. If you want your story to be an adventure, you need dramatic tension. You need want or struggle or need. It's like gasoline in a car. It's what makes the story go vroom. The characters in your story have to want something that they don't already have, and that's hard to get, or that they are trying really hard to get but can't yet. Let's say, for example, there's a little boy with a ball on one side of a tall fence, but he has no one to play with. And on the other side of the fence is a puppy with a waggy tail who wants to play, but who has no boy with a ball. That's dramatic tension, the magic ingredient. If you have that, then your story could be about how they get over or around or through the fence to be together. If you have enough dramatic tension, you'll also have surprise. That's what makes a story cake rise, the element of surprise, where if you're reading or listening, you wonder how everything will work out. Next step, you mix up your ingredients, then you pour it into a pan and put it in the oven. Unless you want a sleepy story, then you leave the ingredient of dramatic tension out of the story. If you want a sleepy story, calm down story, well then everyone in the story, in that place, should have enough. They should have enough to eat and drink. They should have a cozy place to sleep, just like I have a cozy campsite with a tent and a sleeping bag and snacks and a basin and soap and a fluffy towel and a flashlight and a backpack full of letters and the twinkling stars above. In a sleepy story, everyone has just what they need right there with them, and you leave the excitement out. The opposite of excitement is enough. Enough love. Enough warmth. Enough play and fresh air. Enough time to rest for as long as you need. Enough. It's kind of the secret to life and the universe and everything, isn't it? Good night, Amy. Thank you for your letter. Thank you, everyone, for your letters. Sincerely, yours, Lily, a frog.